We don't want to deal with the things that we've allowed in our heart. We don't want to circumcise that. And we don't want to do it because we're stiff-necked. You ain't going to tell me. I'm not that way. Well, I want to tell you something. What we would do, we would point out to Yahweh how wrong He is. How do I know that? Because when someone is struggling, we'll point out how wrong they are. That's wickedness. And that's what our children do. They say, well, you haven't done. What about you? What about your life? What did you do? Look at you. So I'm no different than you. Come on, preacher. That's all right. You see, that's what Israel said to Yahweh. And that's why they were taken in on the great hands of oppression. They had nothing in the storehouse. They had nothing to eat from. And that's what this nation is headed to. It's already there. There's nothing in this nation. Her storehouse, she has nothing. It's empty. With seducing spirits. Doctrines of devils and demons. And folks are buying into their Christian practices and their Lutherans, their Catholicism, their Islam, their Muslims, everything. And they deny the profoundness of Yahweh's truth. And it begins in Torah. Torah shows you what's in your heart. The code of Yahweh's wisdom, it deals with what's in you. And that's why the enemy keeps you away from that all the time, doesn't he? He doesn't want you reading that book, does he? But you will read every kind of the trash book. You get old foolish magazine, a lost book, and you look through that for trash. You will spend 15, 20, 30 minutes looking through it. Same little old trashy trinkets. They have no value. They have no relevance. And you sit there debating, which one do you buy? Or what do I order? What do I want? And yet when it comes to this bread in the storehouse, this the riches of pomegranates and the grapefruit of Yahweh's storehouse, where the fruit of the Ruah, the power of His Ruah is, you don't spend one iota with that. I want everyone to look at your neighbor and say, when's the last time you opened the book? Look at your neighbor. Say, was it last night? All right. You ask honest, you will know when it was. You feel a little hot under your collar because you know there's no time spent in it. That's all right. No time in it. You show the Abba, shows you what's in you. Man going to school, he doesn't learn to understand his specific of his mastering unless he studies. He has to study diligently all the time. And so we don't study today. Studying means nothing to us. And the reason you don't study because you don't love Yahweh. That's just it. You study to do foolishness and to keep corruption going. That's this generation. But to do what Yahweh commands, it doesn't do that. That's why men don't know how to love their wives. And that's why wives are very boisterous and with their wicked mouths. I said, brother, scripture says when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. Her price is far above rubies. That's all right. That's all right. That's all right. That's all right. You understand? And when a woman is a wife, not some little bed fellow, that means nothing. Not some little encounter. He said, when he finds a wife, he finds something great. Do all good gifts come from above? All good gifts perfect. All right. So you don't like Pastor Robert to tell you these things because it shows you, indicts you, shows you what you are. Scripture shows you that. I'm not going to stop. You that are listening, I pray that you're paying attention. I'm hoping that I can finish this today because there's so much good stuff. And I do not want to rationally rush through it. You understand? Now this is what Yahweh has done with us. We're His covenant people, Israel. Can I ask you a question? Has this changed? It says in Devarim, the 26th chapter. 26, and I want to begin in verse 16. You can go through these chapters and verses, and you can lay them out in sequential order. You can lay them out in context and see if I have error in what I'm teaching today. It says in Devarim 26, verse 16. It says, this day, and we're in this day, Yahweh, your Abba, has commanded you to do these statutes and mishpatim. You shall therefore keep and do them with all of your lev, your heart, and with all of your being. So what Yahweh commands us to do, should there be a great emphasis? Should we emphasize what He says? Should we do them half-heartedly, or should we do them with a sincere heart? So only the pure in heart. Who's going to see them? Only the what? Only the pure in heart. Only the pure. And this is what established the pure heart of Yahweh. You're doing all that He commands you. This trash, well, he understands our heart. He knows, come on, brothers and sisters. If you look at your own heart yesterday, you tell me the things that were in your heart, were they pure before Yahweh? Your thoughts, your intentions, your motive? And that's why his statutes, his mishpatim, it gives us a limitation. It brings the flesh under the power of the restraint because we have the ruah of that truth of the Torah of Yahweh. And our mind doesn't stretch out far into the stratospheres. We have a limitation and a restraint. Don't you want a restraint? You wives, you don't want your husband to have restraints? You husband, you don't want your wives to have restraints? Sure we do. You don't want your children to be restrained? I do. He said, you must do all that he commands you, and you must do it with all of your love and with all of your being. Your entire person must be a part of it. He said, you have avowed, you have declared, you have said, Yahweh this day to be your sovereign ruler. You say that he is my ruler. And to walk in his ways and to keep his statutes and his mitzvot and his mishpatim and to listen to his voice. Yahweh has said, he has declared you this day to be his peculiar people. Has that changed? Are we still a peculiar people? So how has the Torah, the code of wisdom of Yahweh's wisdom changed? We shall be a peculiar people. As he has promised you, and that you shall keep some, few of them, all of his mitzvot. Now if we're going to be a peculiar people, we are a peculiar people, a royal Kohenhood. Now how can we be that without keeping all that he commands us? We must keep all that he commands us. What did he command us? You must understand that renewed covenant is an expression. It expressed to us that the fullness of this truth being manifest. And we have examples of the power of this in the Ruah, and we know how to walk now. So we must go back to the Torah, understand the wisdom of Yahweh. We got to do all that he commands us. We must take upon everything he tells us. We must keep all of his mitzvot because our storehouse must be full. You need a storehouse that is full. Not with trash. Not with stuff that rots on you. We have some rotten ways, don't we? Look at your neighbor and say, do I have rotten ways? Come on. Look to someone else and say, do I have ways that are rotten? Alright, you answer the question yourself. That makes you a little uneasy, that doesn't it? Huh? Because you know you're that way. That's why it's difficult for you to do that. That's why you say examine your own heart. It's hard for you to do that. Because it's in you. Truth, preacher. I bless you, Pastor Robert. I love you. You understand, I love myself. Sure I do. How can I love you unless I love me? Sure I love me. Yeah. You can be fruity all you want, I still love me. Period. Hallelujah. So I can love you as I love myself. Love my wife as I love myself. So how can I love a wife without loving me? That's crazy. Yeah, I love me. Yeah, I do. I'm not going to break my knuckles. I'm not going to break your knuckles. I'm not going to go out there and put a board of nails down there and see if I can jump headlong down and see if I can get the first one right there. I remember as a little lad, I was about 7 years old, eight, maybe 10. And what we used to do with our bicycles, it taught me a valuable lesson. We used to fill cans up with rocks. And we would ride and see who'd be the first one to hit the can. That was stupid, wasn't it? And I remember one day I had this old big bicycle. It was one of them big old tires. I call it the Pee Wee Herman bicycle. And we had a big old can and we had filled that thing with rocks. And I wanted to get the big can. I didn't want the little one. And everybody paddling, we would start about a block away. I'm serious. And we would fly as fast as we could to see who hit the can. And that day when I said, I'm going to beat all of them, Andre, I'll never forget them. I got on that bike and I was churning. I said, boom, boom. Once that big bike got to rolling, I knew I couldn't beat them in a short, but like a block long, about half a block, she's caught up with them. She would overtake them after half block, but the tires were bigger once you get them rolling. And so that big old can, I laid my bean on that can. I'm going to get that one. You've done foolish things, you do them now. Any foolish things? And I laid my bead on that big can. When I hit that, woe unto me. Bike and all. I was in trouble. And when they saw that, well, then they slowed down. You see, we would put the cans down. This time we set it up. And I hit that can. Bam! And when I hit that, it took its toll, believe me. But it taught me a valuable lesson. I didn't set them up like that again. And I wasn't so anxious to go that fast to hit a can, too. You understand? See, this is what Yahweh teaches us in His principles and His statutes. See, with a limitation, I bought next time, it's going to do more than that. And so that's what He's trying to convey unto us. It is your own heart that is deceitful. You want to blame someone else. And the reason why, because there's no storehouse there. There's nothing to... When you have nothing to eat from, you're going to look like what you eat. You eat trash, you're going to look trashy. I don't care what you do. You're going to feel that way. Your skin. Sure it is. So we've been eating a pseudo-type truth. You feed yourself that. So when you feed yourself, what you want to, ice cream, chocolate candy. My wife said to me, I said, Sister Robert, no one can eat sweets every day. She said, oh, there you can. I said, no. Well, I couldn't do it every day. If I have something, I kind of treasure. I get a little pack of cookies, they may last me a week or two. Because I made two or three tonight. I don't get no pack with no 40, 50 cookies. I may get some pack with like about 12, 15 of those nice big cookies. I may eat three tonight. May not eat three or four days down the road. May eat three. May eat three or so. Get one of them in a location. It may take me 2 weeks to eat it. As a matter of fact, it gets so nasty and hard, I then throw it away. You understand? But the things of Yahweh, they are delight to our being every day. We should eat this every day. We concentrate on things that don't even help us more than we concentrate on things that help us and give us strength. And that's why we are falling short. That's why we can't walk in the fullness of His power. We're eating from a storehouse, but it's not the storehouse of Yahweh. He said, in your storehouse shall be blessed. A mind, a heart, a desire for Him. You can't even hardly walk among each other and bless one another. And I said to you, sisters and brothers, especially you sisters, whether you all like me or not, it is something, and I'm telling you, and it's the power of the enemy, as he deceived Eve, you allow the enemy to talk to your mind because you have too much idle time. And you get foolish and fruity. I'm telling you, you sisters that are listening, it makes no difference. Yahweh never intended for you to be idle. If you go to Proverbs, that virtual woman, she was always working with her hands. You all work with your mouth, don't you? Come on, say hallelujah, Yahweh. You work with your mouth. Well, you know he said that about my show. Well, I don't take that right with Pastor Robert said my daughter. Now she's a fruit head. I don't take it back. And so you have such idleness of time, you just get fruity. That's the truth. That's why he said, work with your hands. Stay busy. Always doing something. You get upset when someone tells you to do something. Don't want to do anything. Get mad. That's why he said, keep your hand busy. Don't always run into your neighbor's house. And you shouldn't always be running to your neighbor's house. That's a sin. It is. That's what Scripture tells you. Always run to somebody's house. It's wrong to do that. Well, what about you, preacher? I don't run to nobody's house. Not that I'm welcome, but I just stay at home. If I stay at home, I see Dickie Miller. I see him all the time. I talk with him all the time. I don't even run to his house. Never been in Brother Dale's house until that, even when they had that little fire, didn't even go in there then. When he finished his new home over there, I'll probably never go back in there again. Am I welcome? Sure, I'm going and sit down and have a slice of cake or something. All right, son. Brother Dolphin's house. Jermaine, I've been in there one time. The only reason I went there, she just come and have a little bit of this. Get quiet, huh? No, this preacher telling the truth. Shouldn't know what's in you. So you should be so quick to run to your neighbor's house all the time. Stay at home. Work with your hands. It's a sad shame that every one of your daughters in there, I want to tell all of you something. You should be able to sew. You should be able to make clothes for your husband if you want something. It's an abomination. You can't do it. All this idle time you have, you lazy thing. I don't care who you are. Okay, if you get upset with my husband, it's a shame. Every last one of it. If you need something to wear, you should be able to do that. Period. Just lazy. Idleness of time. Well, the children put the young ones asleep. They ain't already. Put them to sleep. Make yourself busy. That's what's wrong with this nation today. It has a law that is corrupt. A law that flesh is vile. They have no love for Yahweh. And a man like me, then they will kill him. Don't like him. That's all right. I don't mind dying. You know why? Because I know I'm going to die. Brother Michael up there, Sister Michael, I'm going to die one day. And that's a sure thing. We all got to go the way of the earth, the Olam. You're going to die. I say that again, you're going to die. Shall the baby Brother Joshua right there? Death is already working. A pretty face and fat cheeks. She's going to die. Period. So are you. He said, now do what I command you. You're going to prolong your days. Your days will be healthy days. It'll be days of strength. He said, you eat out of my house, you're going to have good things to eat. And you're going to have the strength of Yahweh. You should do all of what he commands you to do. In verse 26, chapter 26, verse 19. He said, I'm going to make you high above all people. And that, and above all nations, which he has made. In Tehillah, in praise and in name and in honor. That you may be a Kodesh people to Yahweh, your Abba, as he has spoken. He said, I'm going to make you a people that's separate. I'm going to make you a people that's peculiar. I'm going to make you a people that they will talk about. A people that will have my name and my name will be known. I want that to be. That's what Yahweh wants. That's why he brought them out into the wilderness. And the first thing he did, he gave them a code of wisdom. You do these things and you're going to be blessed. Your storehouse is going to be full. Our storehouse is empty today. We have no love in our storehouse, no meekness, no kindness. You don't have that. You have that toward them that you like. Those that you trust. It is not of Yahweh. It's not. You treat this one differently, you treat that one. That's wickedness. I don't care who it is. It's a wickedness. That is not the true Ahava of Yahweh. It has a dissimulation, there's a hypocrisy there. What about you, preacher? I'll reprove you like I'll reprove the next one. Hallelujah, Yahweh. I will. It makes no difference. Why? Because you're always chasing his children. And if he doesn't chase you, you're a flat out bastard. That's why this generation is proliferating with bastards. That's why the children born out of wedlock, like no other generation. Sure has. It began in the mid-50s. It began to escalate in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. Woo. It began with my mother and that generation. That's just the truth. In the mid-50s, it began. And it proliferated. In the 60s, 70s, and 80s was a pandemic of it. And the 90s, a pandemic. And that's why the children, their minds are twisted. Because they have been birthed under the auspice in a covenant that is not of Yahweh. You all get upset with me. I was born under that. I don't care what you say. I will show you my birth certificate that is unknown. Dad is not known. You understand. Yahweh never intended for that. Because of a rebellious people, a generation that was steeped in idolatry and fornication, and it was manifested in their flesh. They cannot be faithful to one thing. That's why they cannot be faithful with a man or woman. And most women today, if they have more than two children, one child is by one man, the other one is by another one. Now, that's just it. You get upset with me all you want, but it's a fact. And most of them that have two by one man, when that man turns away, then they will have one or two by some other man. And they will all have different daddies. That is not of Yahweh. Period. And so what they have done, we have given ourselves over unto this vile thing, and this corrupt thing. And the parents have, they have blessed that union. And Yahweh is not going to bless it. Period. And we don't want to deal with the facts and the actual thing, what we have done. If a man sold to the flesh of the flesh, he's going to reap corruption. You're sown it away. You're not going to reap anything of a great harvest. We sow seeds that are bad out there. They don't produce anything. You don't get nothing out of that. And that's what this generation is comprised of. And nobody wants to deal with that. Children born out of wedlock, the mindset that is not of Yahweh. It has been nurtured, but it's not been nurtured by the Torah of Yahweh. That's why we walk in this bastard attitude and the spirit that we walked in. There's no affinity for Yahweh. Be quiet, that's all right. Hallelujah, Yahweh. But it's still the truth. And there are parallels in life that we must understand these things. Do you understand? Am I ashamed the world born? For what reason? Glad that Yahweh has me here today. Don't know no daddy, never known one. I'm all right. Haven't lost 1 hour of sleep on that. Not one bit. Period. Now you that got daddies and know them, and you still, you have no proper direction at all. Never known a daddy. Never had one. Never had one that I can say daddy. Or shake his hand. Even never had a stepdaddy. Never had that. Don't even know what that is. But I'm all right. And that's a fact. I'm secure in him because I know who I am. And I am so satisfied. I have no inferior complex. Look at who you are. Period. I would deal with you like a man, a woman. So that doesn't make me smaller than what I am. That doesn't diminish my strength. Great testimony. Hallelujah away. You that woman says, in that loin thou shalt bring forth a son. That's all right by me. His name shall be called David. He shall declare my truth. That's all right. I'd have no problem with that. None whatsoever. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of my mother because that's what she did. Not at all. I'm all right. I'm ashamed when I walk out of the auspice or the confines of Yahweh's instruction. I bring shame to my Abba. I bring a disdain to his name. What I should bring an honor. Where his name should be esteemed. Hallelujah. Why? You know, these things I say ought to make you check out your own mind, your hearts. That's what it should do. And make you see yourself. I'm not going to feel sorry for you. I'm going to pity one of us. I looked at that little baby. I need to put that on the billboard. Look almost like a little orangutan. I honestly thought that what it was. She was nursing a little beast. And I saw that little child. The head is swollen, shaped funny. The little eyes, little thing is black as tar. Can't even eat. They had to feed it with a little syringe. The little child, just nothing there. 4 months old. And look, there's nothing. A sad little baby. You think we're more special than them? This ignorant, stupid generation. You think your sons and daughters, child of hell. The child has committed no sin. You wonder why? Why? Can I tell you why these things? When man moves away from the Torah of Yahweh. That's why we got this. That's why we got the racism in America. We got the white trash. We got the black trash. The white lies. The black lies. That's why we have it all over the world. Nobody wants to deal with it. And the ones they do, they want to do it with just a little bit of touch of salt and pepper. No, I'm dealing with this straight what it is. You understand? You understand? I was reading an article by an ex-CIA agent, Mr. Pillar. He said, Mr. Bush, they manipulated every 28-year career man. He was one of the front men on this weapons against mass destruction. He said they were never there. They knew it. They wanted to do what they did, and they did it. And yet this wicked nation, the Republicans, well, Mr. Bush did a good thing. And these crossover faggot Democrats, to call them, says, I will not be a part of either one of them. Well, we had to. I would go to war, Mr. Kerry. I would kill any terrorists. Isn't that something? And we're one of the most terrorizing nations upon the face of the earth. We terrorize people because in the fear no bread basket. We're going to call sanction. They can't feed their children. What a damnable wicked nation. Another nation like Cuba right there. And that vile thing we call China. Yet we buy everything they make in a little nation down there. Has nothing. And this wicked government. This corrupt government. I watched Mr. Bush sign the, I looked at the picture. I want to tell you something. I don't care who's offended. I looked at that and I saw him as he signed the new budget. This year, $2.7 trillion. And I saw all these faces around him, and they were just as lily white as they come. And these are the men, and that is the truth that run the world. And they impose upon every nation what they want. Every nation cannot be run like America, you understand? Every nation cannot, in Africa, cannot be run like America. You're dealing with a different type, a mindset, a philosophy, something that has been grained over centuries of time. Government is different. Tribal deeds and actions are different. Cultures are different. Everyone cannot be like America. And they try to impose everything upon every nation. And yet they tell Mr. Saddam, you can't have weapons to protect you. And yet they proliferate with weapons. Mr. Ahmadinejad, then in Iran, say, you go to hell, is what he said. He said, shut your mouth, America. We're gonna build our weapons. I don't care what you say. You may bomb us, but that's all right. We'll strike back. As I read to us the other day, this beast, this powerful, this lion that shall rise up, this Islam. I read the articles on Ashura. I don't know. Ashura is a time. I don't know. It's a 10-day feast of Islam. I've always known about it because you see these men, they would cut themselves with swords and they beat their back. And Ashura in the month of Muharram, the first month of the Aramaic calendar, they celebrate this time. It is because of the Prophet Muhammad, his nephew or something, what was his name, Hussein. There's when the great separation came between the Shia,
the Shiites and the Sunnis. That's why you have Sunnis and you have Shia. You understand? You have the Sunni tribe and the Shiites, Muslims. And so what happened, he was killed. And so they cry, even the leaders, all the Arabic nations, the sheikhs, and all of them. You see these pictures? They just they cried for Hussein. They cried. And as short as the time, they just beat themselves and they cut themselves in blood. You see some of the pictures in every nation, every Arabic nation they do it. You see that the blood just flowing down. It looked like a bunch of wild things. And so the Shia and the Sunnis, they will kill each other. But they all say they know Allah, don't they? And they share the only true God. The reason that these things are happening is because there's no Torah truth. The principles of Yahweh are not applicable. They will work in the darkest place of the world. And the babies will be fed. Children do not have to die like that. Their bodies will not be malformity of their bodies. But it will be formed right. It will not be that way. And until this nation and the people realize what is taking place, we're going to be deceived and taken under by the powers of hell. Why? Because we don't want to be forthright and straight up and say what is black is black and what is white is white. We don't want to do that. And we don't want to deal with that. And these whorehouses of Christendom will never deal with those situations because they're paid by the white folks and the black folks pay the black ones. So they got to walk a very thin line. Thank Yahweh, I don't get one salary. Don't need a salary. Got some bread. Mothers make enough to feed us. I'm all right. I'm very thankful, son. I don't have no complaints at all. I really do not. I have no complaint. And I don't complain either. That's all right. We got bread. Amen. That's all right. We can eat. You know, we were talking about how I said to you, brother, how that there are those that they can't even stay warm in their homes. I give you the article today. Big house up there in Concord, man and his wife, they dressed in coats, son in coat, because it's just costing them too much to heat the house. And so they keep it down and say, the old house downright gets cold because there's no money there. And that is the truth. And I said, our houses with that old wood get so hot, you got to open the door. That's all right by me. I'd rather be a little too hot in the winter than to be a little too cold. I can always get cool. Just walk outside. Sure. I can hoist the windows. Turn the ceiling fan. I don't mind that. Hallelujah, Yahweh. And so because we have not dealt honestly with the Torah of Yahweh, then everything in life we don't deal honestly with it. And that's why our lives come unraveled, because we don't deal with Torah truth. And that's why this nation is the way it is. That little child is down there because of there is no true light of his Torah. Do you understand? No whatsoever. You look at a nation like Afghanistan. Mr. Bush says there's democracy. And Mr. Karzai. And yet some of the people that are in parliament, do you understand? They're totally illiterate. They can't even read. They have no diplomatic kuma. They don't even know how to deal. You understand? So every nation is not meant to be ran like this nation. It isn't. And yet in the midst of those tribal conflicts, those men, they can't read or write, but they have wisdom passed down through experience. They know how to deal with situations, know how to look out for the need of the people. And yet this nation wants to make everyone like her. It's not going to work. Why? Because everyone is not walking in the Torah, is it? And so they're not going to be like America. And we don't want to deal with those factors in this nation and the mindset of a people. And that's the way we are. Because what? Can I show you that? I use this analogy. Because if they're not like us, then they're not right. If they're not, it's sister didn't do me the right because she's not like me. Well, how right are you? How right did you do her? Well, the brother didn't respond to me right. How did you respond to him? So he didn't respond to me right, then that makes you respond wrong. It just shows you how warped and how twisted we are. Because that's the law of judgment. That's the righteous statue of Yahweh in our heart. And that's the truth, brothers and sisters. Well, you're trying to say things to tear us down. Sure, I'm trying to destroy your flesh. Every aspect of it, because there's nothing good in your flesh. As far as me, my flesh, there's no good thing. Nothing good. As far as me. That's what he says, as far as me, in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. As far as I'm concerned, in me, there's nothing good. And in you, there's nothing good either. You understand? No good thing. Nothing at all. I know I'm not going to be able to finish this today, but I'm going to finish this on Wednesday because it's good. And I'm not going to let this go to pass, all right? And then I'll get back on the other things. Let me move on a little bit, though. I have a few more I want to read here.
It says in Deuteronomy chapter 30. I want to move there quickly. Yahweh said, now I want to tell you what I said before you. Deuteronomy 30 verse 15. Yahweh says, I want you to look and be amazed. I have set before you this day life and good. Has he done that today with us? Has he set before you life and good? Is Hamashiach the life of the world? Is he, did he not ascend into the Shemayim? Did he not deploy into the assembly every good gift that it was necessary? So Yahweh shall set before you today, this day, life and good, death and evil. He set before us those things. He said, in that I command you this day to love Yahweh. He commands us to love him. Has that changed in the renewed revelation of Scripture? It is more emphatic now than it was then. Because we have the power of the Ruach to do it. We have a storehouse that we can eat out of. It is of great riches and great strength. So he's commanded us today to love Yahweh, your Abba, and to walk in his ways, and to keep his mitzvot and his statutes and his judgment, that you may live and multiply, that you may grow with great strength. Do you understand why we're not living? Because we're not doing what he commanded us to do. What about had a storehouse? I don't know if you all know anything about the great dust storm in Oklahoma. You all know about that? You should know about it. In school, we had that in history. But anything, during the great dust storm, it was one thing about the people in that part of the world, in Oklahoma, certain parts of Texas, that they were afraid to move or to leave because that was the only thing they had. And people literally died by the thousands. They had what they call pneumonia. But it wasn't pneumonia. It was just that their lungs were full of dirt and sand and filth. And see, that's why we have died. This is a spiritual analogy. Our minds are full of filth and trash. Full of stench and wickedness. What? Because we don't walk in the principles of Yahweh's Torah. Only thing they had to do was leave. That's all they had to do. They starved. They died. Because they were trying to hold on to a treasure that was no treasure. See, in this storehouse we can eat and live. In this storehouse, there's a food that we eat is not filthy, but it's clean. He said, now, so I said before you, I command you today to love Yahweh, and that you may live and you may multiply, and that I may bless the land where you go and possess it. Now that is what Yahweh will do. He will bless the land. He will cause it to bring forth and to yield abundant. What land? Is your body an earthly tabernacle of Yahweh? It should yield forth the fruit of Yahweh. Is he coming back for an abundant of fruit? Or just a small little snippet? He's coming back for an abundant. So if you obey the Yahweh according to Torah, then you will begin to bring forth fruit. The reason we don't obey fruit, we don't obey Yahweh. It begins with loving him. That has not changed. Not at all. And so the reason we don't have fruit, because we don't love him. He's not a great aspiration to our heart. We don't care for what he says. And when you can't love him, you can't love no one else. And we just don't care for no one. Because our storehouse, it is filthy. It's full of dirty things. It's trash. We have pneumonia and sickness. We die. We're weak. Because we don't do what he commands us. That is to keep his mitzvot, his statute, his mishpatim, his judgment. Why? So we can live and we can be strong. Our strength can be multiplied. One chaser. He said they will come in one way. They will flee seven ways though. Just one, a true body, true people of Yahweh. And these powers that come in on you, they don't flee seven ways. They bring seven more unclean. You find yourself even more filthy than what you were before you began. And that's the truth. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Why? Because he will speak a message like this to us, will cleanse you up, and then you will go back and you will go astray from these things. We'll bring in seven more vile things. And that's why you get worse. You don't get better. As the old folks say, worse, sir. You get worse. We don't get better. We get worse. We get worse. And that is the truth. He says in verse 17, but if your lamp turn away your heart, so that you will not hear, when you turn your ear away from hearing, when you sit in Yahweh's tabernacle, you become so stiff-necked, you can't hear. When he speaks to you by his word, and that's how he's speaking to us today, Hamashiach is the living word of Yahweh. He said, but shall be drawn away and worship these gods and worship other gods and serve them. He said, I declare to you this day that you shall surely perish. Now we think that some form of worship, as I said, they shall worship devils When one worships a devil, one defies the Torah of Yahweh. It defies what Yahweh commands us. And Yahshua did not defy what Yahweh commanded. When He instructs you, when He tells you, when He shows you what to do, you don't do that, then you are worshiping another God. A God. Not Yahweh. He said, you shall surely perish, and you shall not prolong your days upon the land. He said, you're not going to live. Our lives are not full of liveliness. It's not full of that. No liveliness. You know, one thing about fellowship, especially husband and wife, that should be a great esprit there. I look at some of us in here, sad. It's pitiful. My. It is just a metaphor of what's out there in the world, too. Why? Because the mind is not on Yahweh. It's no love for Him. See, the wife doesn't love her place there. The wife and the husband doesn't love his place. Why? Because it's one thing about the strength of a wife that Yahweh gave her to be a helpmeet to the man. That's what she is. And women today, you learn that trash from your mama because she was a mess and all she did was raise hell with the dad and complain. And so you've learned the same trash. She tried to rule daddy and you want to try to rule daddy too. And that's not the way it is. This woman is not going to rule Yahweh. This assembly, what we call the assembly, not some whore church, but the assembly, is not going to rule Yahweh. It's not going to tell Him what to do. And He's not going to change. Period. And what we do, the virtuous woman, was she always working with her hand? What is it commanded us to do? To work out our salvation with what? Do we work it? Do we work it? That's what He says. Work out. Work out. Work out. Is there between you going out here? Can I show an example? You going out here, brought around this truck. Is there between a stroll and a walk around here than a workout? Do you understand? See, because a workout, it brings out all the impurities. You sweat. You stink. A little stroll around there, you don't even sweat. The toxicities, they all come out. Sure it does. You get a workout, it's in between working. A workout, everything's come out. You work it out. We want to prod. We want to play around. It's not so with Yahweh. And He's not gonna accept it, brothers and sisters. Our storehouse is very lean. It's not even lean. You can't go in it and find anything. You search your mind for your heart for confidence, for strength. You can't even hardly find it. And so that's why you don't give any credence to Yahweh. You go find someone to try to help you. Is Yahweh a very present help? Is He a very present help? In the time when times are good? Huh? And so when you have a little trouble, you don't see God Yahweh. Am I on the mark there? Sure I am. He's a very present help. So you go seek somebody else because they got the same kind of mindset you got. You're just amazing because you folks would not come to me. That's all right because you know I would deal with the circumstance. I would deal with what's in your heart first and let you know the sin that's in you. That's the truth. I will show you the corruption. Should I have vile? You find someone that you think is going to placate you. Did it please Yahweh to bruise HaMashiach? Did it please Him? Was His back beaten? Was it marred above any man? Had any man suffered with a beating like that, man? He put that kind of knot. Hey, that Roman scourge, he put it on him. Every blow was violent. And believe me, he didn't say, ouch. I believe he cried. Ah. Until his head just fell. He would be convulsions. Believe me, when he put it on, catching his head. And he made sure every blow was vital. He wasn't a little man. He was probably massive. 6'3", about like Jermaine. 6'4", 6'5", 265 pounds. Well, they were soldiers. They did push-ups back then. He was very massive. He took delight in that. He had on that leather hood where the blood, just nothing but the slits in his eyes, menacing looking. And they would look to the crowd and make sure. It would cause fear in the whole crowd. You could hear a rat urinate on cotton. You hear me? And he was good at his arts. He said, this one I'm going to cause a wrap around here and around there, pull bits and pieces out of his mouth. What he did is he did it with a vengeance. Wow. And his body just in commotion. We take this thing lightly. We take it very lightly. We don't believe it. That's what it was. It's beyond comprehension. beyond expression. And try to give us a little something. I recall you found your heart, but he could do it in such a way that it made you shiver. Ooh, it seems so real. Hallelujah, Yahweh. I want to close from here. He says, you're going to perish. You're not going to prolong your days. When you pass over Jordan to go possess it. I call the Shemayam and the Ulam to record this day against you, not for you, but against you, that I've spoken these things, Devarim 30:19, that you may know. And I have set before you life and death, blessing. Did he say cursing as well?
Yes.
Therefore, choose life, that both you and your seed may live. Now, do you understand, brothers and sisters? You have not chosen life. That's why your seed, your Zerah, is dead. That's why there's nothing in your sons, your daughters, your children. Because we have chosen death. We have chosen sin. We have chosen corruption. He said that you may love Yahweh, your Abba. And that you may obey His voice. Do you obey His voice? When He speaks to you, do you obey Him? He said that you may obey His voice and that you may cleave to Him. For He is your life. Has that changed? Has it changed now? Yahweh said, I'm your life and length of your days, that you may live in the land which Yahweh declared unto your avat, Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, to give them. Now, I'm going to stop there, but I'm going to continue on this on Wednesday, just Wednesday. And next Shabbat, I will begin back on the message when I began some time ago. And so we don't have that great strength and fortitude because His Torah life is not in us. And we must begin to examine our own heart. Our storehouse has nothing of great delight in it. And the world gives these illusions of storehouses of security. And there is no security at all there at all. Period. Can I say to you all, we will go out into the world and we will deal with the world in such a humbling way. When it comes to one another, we deal with each other with such a cruel, callous way that is so wicked. You're not going to go out on the jobs, you little ones. Let me tell you that with your ignorant ways. When you come to work, when they say speak, you're going to speak to everyone. Good morning, Miss Smith. And that job that you must call them that. Miss Smith, Mr. Jones, Mr. Honeycutt. And if you do not perform the way they say, what's your problem today? What's wrong with you, Randy? You got a problem? You got an attitude? They don't care if it's your wife or what. Gene Roberts, you got a problem? If you got a problem, you got to leave that at home. Brother Allen, we were talking to that lady. What's her name, brother? I don't remember. Down there at Lawyer Martin's office. Patricia. A very nice old lady. She's about 70 years old. She doesn't look it. Really, she really doesn't. I just enjoyed her conversation. And she said to me, she said, you know, she called me Reverend. I said, don't call me that. I had to get on him about that. Don't call me that. She said, I want to tell you something. She said, my husband had triple bypass surgery. And the lawyer that I worked for, he looked at me and he said, I want to tell you something. He picked the wrong time to have an operation because I need you here. He said he was so cold and so callous. He did not care. He was not concerned. He said he cared about one thing, and that is money. And that's what the world cares about, money. Their own false storehouse. And you're not going in there with your little childish, stupid, ignorant attitude and think that you're going to have your wealth. Who you are? It's amazing that these men will put their wives out to let the world pimp them. And that's what the world does, pimp them. And yet they will not, if a man of Yahweh says something to their wife, say, look, sister, you're not going to do that here. They get perturbed. They want to rise up against you. Why? Because they know the man of Yahweh, in most cases, will not bust their butts. You understand? Rather than the world, and they will bust his chops. And he'll be afraid of that because he wants her to keep the job. Because they need the money. Well, just don't say nothing. Just be quiet. Just go be quiet every day. Just go in there. Don't say nothing. But don't. I don't care what nobody says. You just be quiet. Just keep yourself from there. That's what men tell their wives. Don't tell me they don't. You know we need this money now. You got to work. Should they tell them that? And that is the truth. And yet they think that they can speak to the man of Yahweh in any way, in any fashion. You're not going to do it here. I don't care who you are. Hallelujah, Yahweh. And there are women out there on the job, in the world, that are supervisors. They're cruel, too. Women in positions like that are very cruel. They are tough. And they don't play. Because they got this inferiority complex, they think that they're less than what they are. They want to prove that they're as strong as a man. Woman, you're not as strong as a man. Period. You don't have the physical prowess. You don't have the strength. And no sister is physically as strong as me. Period. Three of you together can't do what I do. Five of you. That's a fact. So you're not physically as strong as a man. You don't have the myth. You don't have the mindset of a man. Period. Not a man. Now, it's a difference between a man and a boy. But a man, you ain't got that. Period. He didn't make you lesser. You're not lesser. He made you to have a place. And it's one that is beautiful. And you trust in the strength of that head. That's why Yahweh is the head of HaMashiach. HaMashiach is the head of man. Man is the head of woman. Period. Period. And Yahweh sees in our performance what's actually in us. You understand? And that's the truth. It all begins there. And Yahweh shaped our attitude by His Torah. May Yahweh bless you. Come on, Brother Pat. Hallelujah. Bless you all that are listening by the live stream. Pastor Robert's a little crude today, but that's all right. I'm a crude man. I'm an uneducated man. I'm not a theologian. Theology always present questions that are never answered. Truth just show you the answer. That's all it does. So I'm not a theologian. I'm not an interpreter of Scripture. It is simply revealed by Scripture. So I rely upon that. May Yahweh bless you all. May give you strength. Come on and sing with us. Let us stand to our feet as we sing this precious song. Song come from Pastor Brown there in Montgomery, Alabama. Come on, Brother Patrick.
Beloved, shed among us. Love is understanding, brotherly love, and it is real, so that there be love shared among us. Let there be
love. Come on and grab your neighbor's hand and sing that again, every heart.
So let there be love.
We bless you all that are listening. We pray that you always Ahava will be spreaded in your heart today. We pray that these simple truths will bless you and strengthen you. We pray that His love will shed abroad in your heart by the power of HaKodash Ruah. And that the simple truth will bless your heart today. We bless you for joining us in this gathering here, the Yahweh's congregation. And come on and sing with us.
A brotherly love, that is real. So let there be love shared among us. Let there be.
Come on, look in the eyes of your husband, wife, your friends as we sing.
So let there be love.
Come on, Brother Micah, Sister Michael, among
us. Let there be love in our life.
Brother Heath, Sister Heath.
Your love, sweet as love, goes us your way to arise. Give us a friend, understanding, a brotherly is real, so let there be love shared among us. Let there be.
Come on, one more time.
So let there be love shared among us. Let there be love in our lives. Your love, sweet as love, goes us your way to right. Give us a friend, so let me be love. Jeremiah, let me be your love. For heart delights the day above. Your truth is simple. Teach us the way of your Torah. For Yahshua HaMashiach is the fullness of that power. I pray that the heart of the people will be captivated until we continue this truth on Wednesday evening. Bless them to wait patiently upon your truth, Yahweh. We do pray for those that are having ailments in their bodies in this inclement weather. We thank you today, Yahweh. We just bless you. My heart rejoice because I'm glad to be born again. Help us all, I pray. Bless us to be one with another, that our heart will be sincere and pure with each other. Bless all the young ones, I pray. Touch their heart. I pray that you will open the doors to send precious daughters of Zion, for our precious young men, that they may have wives. And those daughters, husbands, your will be done, Yahweh. But bless them, I pray. Give them great strength of encouragement. Yahshua's mighty name, we bless you. And we thank you. And all the saints said, hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.